January 20th is in less than 3 weeks, and that means Trump's day one promise to pardon all January 6th protesters should come to fruition. Coming home will be a joyous occasion, but getting out is half the battle. Hundreds of Americans are currently serving time and will need to rebuild their lives after getting out. The government has pursued these individuals relentlessly and ruthlessly, and the impact of January 6th prosecutions will take years for these patriots to recover from. Let me introduce you to my new friend, Rachel Powell. The media has dubbed her the Pink Hat Lady, but to her 8 kids, she's a mom. To her grandkids, she's grandma. And in the history books, she'll go down as a victim of a politicized and radical criminal justice system. She is currently serving a more than 4.5-year sentence. She has served 1 year of that sentence so far and is currently incarcerated at Hazleton Correctional Facility in Brewston Mills, West Virginia. She was also sentenced to 3 years supervised release and an $8,000 fine. Her big crime? Breaking a window at the Capitol. If you think that January 6th protesters should be pardoned, then listen to this and consider helping her put her life back together by donating. We all know times are hard, and if you can't donate, then please share this video to help keep Rachel's story alive. If you're one of those people that believe January 6th protesters are a danger, then I challenge you to reconsider that idea, particularly whether breaking a window deserves the harsh punishment that Rachel has endured. The following are excerpts from letters that me and her have exchanged over the last few weeks. When I asked Rachel about sharing parts of her letters, she said the following. When I write to you, I am talking to you as I would anyone. In my mind, you are a new friend. Whatever you do with messages or letters is not my business. They are yours. Share them, keep them private, I don't care. The decision is yours. If there is ever anything I share that I want to keep private, I will tell you. So with that said, I would like to share with you a few excerpts from letters that we have exchanged so you can understand the harsh conditions that she's had to endure for a year. I am still at the SFF Hazleton Correction Facility in Brewston Mills, West Virginia. SFF stands for Secure Female Facility, but they should consider changing that name because it is co-ed. We have to live with strange, sex-offending transvestites. Any terrible thing you could imagine happening from this scenario has, but I will save that discussion for another time. I have to be careful when talking to anyone they consider media, lest they try to throw me in the shoe again. There are rules about this. You can't try to contact the prison via email or phone. It can be hard to get through by phone. They have been refusing media interviews, even though policy says they are supposed to let them happen. So it would be good to document them blocking one again. Not even CNN could get through, even though they had lawyers on it. I have started a paperwork process in here to get them allowed in the way they should be allowed, but that takes time. They've been telling me that they don't have to approve the interviews because I can have contact with the media on the phone or computer, which is correct, because policy says I can speak to media. So I'm happy to message back and forth, at least for a while. I have a big family, and I had to take someone's contact out to message you. Eventually, I might take yours out to add someone else's. My contacts are limited. In her second letter, she talked about how her fellow inmates learned the truth about January 6th. Rachel was featured in Jack Cashel's book, Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. In regards to that, Rachel said the following. When I shared the book for others to read around here, they could not put it down. For the one lady, she was blown away because she had been brainwashed by media propaganda about that day. She was so upset, her eyes were open to government corruption. Yes, the conditions in here are mind-blowing. I would not be shocked if this was a third-world country, but it is not. If you give me a mailing address, I can send you letters I have sent to people in Congress. All the buildings leak, have mold, the food is terrible, we can't even get real bras, and our breasts fall out of what we have. They have told me not to have visitors here. There is no food in visiting, and one of my visitors was actually removed with armed officers once. I could just go on and on. There have been some minor improvements since I came here. They put tables in visiting and opened the children's room. They have mostly stopped giving me an extra unnecessary strip search each time I have a visit, although they still strip search me like a man, sometimes making me bend over while looking at my vagina with a flashlight. It is quite disturbing. Some women can't put themselves through it, so they don't have visits. They also feed us if we miss lunch to have a visit now. The old captain and I had a few arguments about not feeding inmates. He said they didn't have to feed us if we missed lunch. I said they did, but in the end he did what is right and started providing sack lunches when we came out of visiting. But things like that, why do I have to file forms and fight with staff to get it taken care of? Why do I have to fight in order to not be abused? Rachel also expressed her thoughts on how conservative media has ignored January 6 protesters, but notes that it's everyday Americans that have supported her and her family and made the days a bit easier. I do feel abandoned by most of my representatives on the right and by conservative media, but I do not feel abandoned by the people themselves. The American people have lifted me up. Many donated to legal fees, sent letters of encouragement. They have no idea how they have picked up my spirits day after day. It is not normal for me to have days without some sort of mail in here. There are some people who write me so often, I feel like I know them now. I always write back. People have sent gift cards to my children this Christmas season. One woman even sent some boxes to my children so they could open a box and have special things to do on the long rides down to visit me in prison. I don't know what I would have done without the American people. I am so blessed and loved. Don't believe the negative comments you see online. I'm convinced a lot of them are bots because in real life, there has been an outpouring of encouragement. In the beginning, I got death threats and such, but now all I get is an outpouring of love. During my interview with Jack Cashel, he said that the women he spoke with had not, quote, lost their affection for Trump. I asked Rachel if this was still true for her. She said the following. Jack was correct. Nobody I met has lost their affection for Trump. If anything, we love our country more and desire to see change more deeply than ever before. Sometimes we have discussed how we are hurt that millions, or is it billions, have been raised for campaigns and such, but we have suffered the loss of jobs, homes, on top of the mountains of legal bills and fines. That doesn't seem right, but it is what it is. There is a price we have paid on top of prison sentences, but we still love Trump and we are glad he did not go to prison. I personally believe Trump is going to do great things for this country. If anything, I like him even more than before when I see the people he is appointing. RFK, Gabbard, Musk. Wow, I am elated. This is what we need if the swamp is really going to be drained. I also love his VP pick, Vance. I read his book, Hillbilly Elegy, and it really struck a chord with me. He could be our next president. Despite the tribulation that Rachel has endured, she has not lost her faith in God. I believe the doors have been opened where I can have a voice to help the women contained in these walls. I am waiting to see what doors God opens for me. I believe some have already begun to open. All things work together for good, for them who are called according to God's purpose. Why would we be put through this if we were not meant to see it and change it? Aside from dealing with prison life, the emotional toll, and being separated from her children, the entire ordeal has been a financial strain. Rachel said, "This has been an expensive process. I sold my family home to pay for this, so any help is appreciated. Patriot Freedom Project with Cynthia Hughes has paid a good portion of my legal bills. She probably has over $20,000 into me, and she is the reason my children have met Trump multiple times. Private people have helped me out too. My first retainer was $25,000 and mostly paid thanks to friends in my community raising the money. But money from selling my house can't last forever and is slowly dwindling. Not that I am too worried. God always provides. What the locusts have eaten, God will restore. Please consider donating to Rachel's GiveSendGo account to help her cover legal fees and get her life back together once she's released. Share the video to keep her story alive. If you want to know more about January 6, check out my interview with Jack Cashel on his book Ashley, The Untold Story of the Women of January 6th. Links to everything are in the description. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.